Hi, this is Kevin Riles. I want to welcome you to this week's The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles. I have a guest. I finally have another friend. So Madison out there, if you're listening, I have a friend, Kevin Riles and friends. We're going to talk about African-American home ownership. I want to kind of dive into the home ownership rate of African-Americans here in the Houston area and just in general, and provide some assistance to try to increase that rate. So this week on The Real Estate of Life, African-American home ownership, and I have a friend, Ms. Kimberly Barnes.
Support for this program comes from the Digital Broadcasting Network, presenting podcasts and web series from everyday people who have an extraordinary passion to make the world a better place.
All right, we are ready for this week's The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles. Again, I want to always thank you for taking the time out to listen to my little old podcast. I can tell you that I have gotten emails, phone calls, texts from friends, clients, and then folks that you guys have passed my e-blast onto. My mom called me recently and said, "I didn't know you were talking about this." And I said, "How did you know that story?" She said, "Well, somebody that listens to your podcast sent it to me, and they had gotten the podcast from someone else." And so between myself sending it out, between Mr. Producer sending it out, I guess I'm getting a little bit of traction. And so I just want to, again, always am thankful for you to take time. I think some of you tell me that y'all listen to it in the car. Some of y'all have told me that y'all listen to it when you're working out. And to be honest with you, I listen to it when I'm working out as well, because I want to learn the information that I just talked about. Does that make sense? That doesn't make any sense. So this week, for Madison, this is for my daughter, because my daughter low-key listens to my podcast, but she don't try to act like she doesn't. She's always asking me, "When you gonna have friends?" It says Kevin Riles and Friends, The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles and Friends. And thus far, I've only had one quote unquote friend friends on the podcast. And so I have another friend today. And what I want to talk about, I was impressed with, I'm a member of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers, and we'll get into what that means here in a second. And the National Association of Real Estate Brokers is different from the National Association of Realtors, first and foremost. The National Association of Real Estate Brokers is the largest real estate trade organization for African Americans, and it was the organization that we joined before we could join NAR. And so I was at an event recently. I was voluntold to talk about commercial real estate recently, and I was impressed with our guest from a lot of different perspectives, but first and foremost was her knowledge of African American home ownership and what we needed to do to increase that. And I want to speak to this up front before I introduce her. African American home ownership is important for everyone, not just African Americans, because as President Obama used to say, a rising tide lifts all boats. And so I know that I have a diverse audience, diverse ethnically, diverse racially, but I think having this information, not only for African Americans, but for those others of you out there that can possibly share this information with your African American friends, can help us all. Because when African Americans are buying houses at a larger, or buying investment property, or participating in the economy, that helps everyone. And so all bands of income can help. I'm focusing on African Americans because, one, I'm African American. Two, I do believe in education, and that's how I've built my business. And so I wanted to have Ms. Kimberly Barnes on today. She is the local president of the Houston Black Real Estate Association, and she's everything. She's been in the business 19 years. She's a residential and commercial real estate broker. She's a motivational speaker. She does small business and real estate coaching. She says jump, and everybody says how high and how much do I have to pay you? Welcome to The Real Estate of Life. How are you doing?
Thank you so much, Kevin. I am ecstatic to be here.
Good. I was at this event, and actually two events. We had the Texas Association of Real Estate Brokers, which is the Texas version. So let me explain. NARAB is the national organization. TARAB is the Texas organization. And then we have the local chapters. And so Kimberly is this year's president for the Houston Black Real Estate Association. And she was going over these statistics of African-American home ownership. And so I was just blown away by how our home ownership has gone down. yes. Here in the last couple of years. So before we get to the statistics, kind of give me a sense of just a general summary of what you've seen since you've been Houston Black Real Estate Association president and kind of some of the data that you've had access to.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to start just by saying it's down in Houston. It's down across the nation.
Okay.
Across the nation, the African-American home ownership rate is about 42%.
Okay.
It's the lowest since the Great Depression.
Wow.
You guys, the Great Depression. It's right. Not like something that happened yesterday.
Right.
Every other race has recovered since the 2008 mortgage debacle. They have either come back even to where they were prior to or surpassed.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only race that have not. Now, when we look and take a look at what's going on in Houston, with Houston being so diverse,
mm-hmm.
as diverse as it is, and blacks are about 23.7% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little over 2 million people here in the city. But even though we are 23.7% of the population, Kevin, among the pool of approved loans,
mm-hmm.
we only received 6,796 of those approved loans. And let me tell you how huge that number is. It's about 9% we received.
Okay.
It was 141,000 applications,
mm-hmm.
right? And out of the 141,000 applications, about 68,000 actually ended up being approved.
Mm-hmm.
And the percentage that went to African Americans was about 9%, so 6,756. That's real disparity.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say, Houston, we have a problem,
mm-hmm.
but I'm so glad to be a part of NARAB, because NARAB, through their $2.5 million program, has a solution. So they've committed to putting 2 million African Americans into homes over the next 5 years. Now, what is that going to do for the numbers? It's not going to change the numbers a whole lot at mm-hmm. first, but it's going to give us the foundation and program to change the narrative so that we're increasing African-American home ownership just that much faster in the future.
Right. So, and I'm going to hit some of those stats here in a second. So you and I have been in the business almost the same amount of time, 19 years. I've been doing it 20 years. And so if you remember, or I'm assuming that you remember, when we first got in the business, the process of getting a mortgage, the mm-hmm. level of products available to people in general was a lot greater than it is now, which was good,
mm-hmm.
but also bad. So you mentioned the mortgage debacle of 2008. I just wanted
yes.
to call that out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember, let's say 2006, 2007, when you basically had to be breathing
to get a loan,
yes,
right?
Sir. I mean, literally, someone would roll in their 98-year-old grandmother with 700 credit scores and buy the house, but it was really for I want to speak to that because those programs were. The mortgage industry's tried to blame, honestly, African Americans and minorities for the mortgage debacle of 2008. And the mm-hmm. reason they did that is because, and this is just me being professorial, and I teach this at Prairie View, the Community Reinvestment Act, the CRA Act, is an act, a law that basically requires banks to lend in communities of color in certain census tracts. And banks were saying, well, hey, and they get graded on this. To this day, that still happens. They still get graded on their lending in certain areas. And so, I want to give kind of some historical perspective to why we are where we are now. And so banks said, okay, hey, we want to lend to undeserved communities, brown and black communities. And so in order to do that, we have to kind of change some of our underwriting guidelines to accommodate, which is fine, some of the issues that are, which is lack of credit, maybe not understanding credit, being discriminated against as far as it pertains to credit. But I say all that to say that they created certain programs, some of them great, but then they started realizing, oh, wait a minute, we're making money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so some of the programs that were created, stated income, stated asset, no mm-hmm. income, no asset,
mm-hmm.
things of that nature, really started putting people into situations where they couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you had, if I remember correctly, and I don't know the statistics, but around 2007, that was one of the highest times for African-American home ownership. Is that correct?
And actually, between 2004 and 2007,
okay.
the numbers began to balloon. But what you said about the service of the underserved
mm-hmm.
communities, I just want to add, statistical data shows, mm-hmm. Kevin, that a lot of the people who they put into those products
mm-hmm.
could go into
right.
traditional
okay.
products, yet they elected
that.
to put them into the adjustable rate mortgages,
non-prime,
subprime product.
Right.
They elected to offer those to the underserved community rather than the fixed rate products. Mm-hmm. And many, many in those communities qualified for those products, yet they were not offered. That's where a lot of the lawsuits actually stemmed from. Mm-hmm. That is the basis of the of many of the lawsuits that were fought in court and won on those basis, because it was proven those people's credit could just as well as anyone else get them a fixed loan product, but they were never offered the option.
And I saw it firsthand. So at that time, we could be both mortgage broker and residential mortgage broker and real estate broker. So I opened a mortgage company in my office, just
too.
You did as well. Mm-hmm. And I remember people coming to me for refinancing, and you know, they would have 800 credit scores, 750 credit scores, and they would have a 12% interest rate on a loan that they just did 2 years ago. They were trying to refi out of the ARM, adjustable rate mortgage. And I was like, oh, so you must have improved your credit. And it's like, no, my credit's always been like this. And I would be looking like, well, why do you have like the worst interest rate, you know, in the world? And so, well, that's what the loan officer said I qualified for. And so this is not just anecdotal stories. I saw it firsthand. And part of it was people's lack of knowledge, just not knowing what to do. Part of it was also loan officers not being, you know, you literally back in the day could get a loan officer license.
Predatory.
It's predatory. No. I was getting it. But the primary reason was predatory lending. These were pushed. And, you know, I will tell you that being a self-employed individual, I miss stated income, stated asset, or at least bank statement type loans, because right now the system is not friendly to self-employed individuals. If you don't have a W-2, it's very difficult to get a home loan right now. And I see people having that problem. So I do think that there is a space for specialized loan products, but the predatory lending was on another level, and it was proved. And the reason I bring that up is I used to sit, I'm a nerd. I'm a cool nerd, though. I'm a nerd, and I watch C-SPAN. And only nerds watch C-SPAN. And Mr. Bruce is just mild. That's not true. But C-SPAN, I remember them holding hearings and seeing large banks. I won't name them all because I don't remember them all, and I don't want to be wrong. But large banks sitting in these committee hearings saying that, well, y'all told us, you know, with the CRA Act, the Community Reinvestment Act, that we had to lend to these folks, so we had to create products in order to do that. It was just, to me, an attempt to push the blame of what was happening in the mortgage market on it. So what you might be asking out there, what does it have to do with African-American home ownership? I want to say the statistic is it was over 50%, and I don't know it exact, but I know over 50% during that time. I remember watching C-SPAN of these subprime, non-prime, predatory lending products went to our community, right?
Yes, they absolutely did. And so the wealth loss, the magnitude of wealth, the number one wealth building tool for African Americans is their home.
Absolutely.
So when we lost that, that was substantial to our communities. So that wealth is gone, and we have yet to get that wealth back.
Right.
And so when you look at that among the other racial divides, we are now behind, even the Hispanics have now surpassed the African-American, even though our education rates are higher. We are making more money now than ever. But because of that, we have yet to be able to recapture the numbers that we once had. And so looking to NARAB and other African-American leaders in the industry to come up with programs and options that are viable for people to get into homes, to change that narrative, because we have to have a transfer of wealth in the African-American community. And with the mortgage debacle, that wealth transferred, but it wasn't to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the fact, they had an opportunity, Kevin, to make it right. And to actually, instead of pooling all of those mortgages that were foreclosed upon and selling them off to investors who went into communities and turned them into rental communities, they could have offered them back out to individuals for sale to make sure that that wealth rebuilding happened in those communities. But that was not the case.
Right, right. Now, you know, there are macro issues as Kimberly is talking about, and those are the purvey of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers and policy and CBC or Congressional Black Caucus is coming up next week.
From this taping, the DC party
with a purpose. That's what I call it. It's for those of you that grew up in the 90s, it's a professional Freaknik, but in a good way.
Oh,
but in a good way.
I'm not going to be a part of the Freaknik part while I'm down there.
Freaknik was a good thing. Somebody out there, my Atlanta peeps, they know what I'm talking about, the collegiate part of it. Anyway, I digress. That is one part of solving this. I commend the National Association of Real Estate Brokers in attempting to address this from a policy standpoint. Mm-hmm. But Kimberly and I are boots on the ground, literally. Yeah. So you have the policy part of it, but then you have the boots on the ground and the folks that are in the can hear me, my voice, can assist. And I will also say there are programs out there and things out there that if you are interested in home ownership, and let's say you did have an issue back in 2007, 2008, or maybe you have just started to think about buying your first home. And by the way, I'll say this again is a podcast about African-American home ownership, but a lot of these, everything that we're talking about today is not just available to us. It's available to anybody that's a first time home buyer or trying to do that. But again, our focus today is trying to do 2M and 5. So what's 2M and 5?
So the 2M and 5 program is where we are actively hosting fairs in focusing on home ownership in the African American community. We are across the country. Mm-hmm. Our goal is 2 million African Americans over the next 5 years. But here locally in Houston.
To purchase homes.
Okay. For new home purchase. Okay. Here in Houston. Our goal is $4,500 a year. Our portion of the goal as the Houston chapter, because mm-hmm. NAREP has 93 chapters, so we've got a portion. Mm-hmm. Our portion is $4,500 a year. So we are actively looking for 500 sales agents and brokers to join our organization that can do at least 9 deals a year, Kevin, mm-hmm. so that we make sure that we're meeting our number. Because this $4,500 is on top of the 67 we already did. Remember, we need to increase.
Gotcha.
Okay,
gotcha.
So we need to increase. So if we can increase the $4,500, do what we've already done, and increase by the $4,500, then we will be successful in the Houston market with increasing the home ownership goal. So that's what we're doing. So the programs that we have, we're doing the housing fairs and mm-hmm. things like that, but also with the storm. Because we've just had the storm here in Houston with Hurricane Harvey, there was some concern about becoming stagnated mm-hmm. in our process, because inventory now is even lower than before, especially in the affordable market.
Right?
So now we are proposing that we will not fall behind, that mm-hmm. we're going to push harder than ever before, adding on the recovery piece, mm-hmm. but still pushing to put people in homes and those who lost their homes, helping them to find a product that they can get back in by making sure they understand the programs that are available through that came available mm-hmm. since the disaster to help them.
So, and I know that as of this taping, this information we're going to send out via email, but by the time this airs, the event that's happening on the 16th mm-hmm. Will have passed. But I still wanted to kind of talk about the event so that people could kind of understand what's out there.
Okay.
And then secondly, give them some points as far as information so they could get some of this information and possibly contact HBREA as a source for some of this. So let's talk about that. I did a emergency podcast a couple weeks ago with a mortgage person to kind of talk about some of the mortgage programs a little bit. But in some of the things that I'm looking at here on the flyer for the event, and by the way, this event, if for some reason, again, y'all won't hear this until afterwards, but it's tomorrow. We're taping on a Friday the 15th. It's Saturday, September 16th from 10 to 5. Again, I want to talk about this. And this is a housing and recovery event. Mm-hmm. And y'all made sure y'all bolded and.
Yes.
So it's not just recovery. It's housing as well. Mm-hmm. And then there are kind of three things that you guys are going to be talking about. One of them is recovery outreach details. Can you kind of talk about what is going to happen in that recovery outreach details? And then, again, we can kind of point them to HBRA once we're done.
Okay, so for the recovery outreach detail, mm-hmm. during that portion and that focus of the fair, mm-hmm. we'll actually be having FEMA on the ground doing presentations and intake for those people who need to do FEMA applications. Mm-hmm. But I want to be clear, and so even though this podcast may be later, I want to be clear that if you've been denied your FEMA application, that there's a dispute process, and a lot of people think once they get the denial, they're done. No, they have a dispute process. Don't give up. Okay, make sure that you go back to FEMA and go through the dispute process to see if you can get the funding help that you need. So that will be addressed at this event for sure. And then we're going to also have information there for our veterans. Our veterans are our heroes, so we never want to forget about them. And we want to make sure that during this time that they too understand that there are loan products and rehab products through the Veteran Administration that's available to them. That will be part of the recovery. And a key thing that I think a lot of people forgot about during the storm was that there were a lot of businesses that got flooded.
Absolutely.
And you don't hear a lot of talk about the small businesses and things like that that got flooded during the storm that have really set them back. Well, we're going to have the Small Business Administration there that will be able to help and direct them maybe to get a small business loan or that type of thing. But there's also a lot of nonprofit organizations who have been giving out small stipends and things like that.
We have.
Hello.
I'm on the board of the Houston Black Chamber.
Expo? Chamber.
Yeah, Houston Black, Greater Houston Black Chamber Foundation, and we've given out, as of Friday, we gave out seven $1,000 grants to small business owners that have been affected with. So, yes, there are people out there giving money to businesses.
That is going to be part of our information at this fair for the recovery. It's letting them know where the resources are. And then one of the big parts of the recovery piece will be having attorneys there that for free will answer contract questions. So for those people who are in a lease and say the landlord wants them to pay rent even though the place is inhabitable right and they're having a problem with that.
That's been going on. I just saw a news story of Southwest Houston where people are living in mold and they're still expecting rent.
They're still expecting them to pay rent, so they need to know what their rights are. They'll be there answering the questions. For those people who are going under contract with a contractor and just want somebody to review it, they'll do that even. And then the people who are facing buyouts, who have the opportunity because they flooded multiple times, right, to get a buyout from FEMA or from the city, whoever's offering it, and they've got the paperwork and they want somebody to look over and kind of like discuss it with them so that they make sure they understand what the option is, they'll be doing that at this event. The good thing that I want to say, since this will be broadcast later, is we're going to be doing events like this ongoing, because when the media goes away, the fanfare goes away, and nobody's focusing on Houston anymore, Kevin, you and I, those boots on the ground, will still be here in the city doing this work. So we'll have those dates and times, and I'll make them available to you so you can make them available to your listeners of those events and things that we're going to be doing upcoming. November 4th is just one of the dates with Windsor Village, actually, that I know that we have on the calendar that's upcoming. So we're going to be consistently doing this if they missed the September 16th.
So what I'll do is I'll ask Mr. Producer to put these dates in our show notes under the video. So as some of y'all know, this is not just a podcast. We've been videotaping this for the last about 5 weeks. And so you get to see my handsome, good looking face as I talk and the gray that I have, all this wisdom. And so you get to see the beautiful Miss Kimberly Barnes today as well. And Mr. Producer, because we had company. You know how when company come over to your house?
Oh, no, we're going to tell on you.
You make your bed a little bit better, you clean up, whatever. So for those of you watching the video, I just been behind this brick. I look like I've been in prison when I come in here before. But now I got a TV behind me with the logo for the show. I mean, he brought it all out for Miss Kimberly Barnes. Now I just get the brick. I don't get the regular stuff. I just get, you know, but that's okay. You know, that's okay. Company came over, so you do a little bit better with company. But we'll put this in the show notes on Channel 713 that hosts our video. And then also, how do they get in touch with HBRA? How do they keep up with HBRA? HBRA.
HBRA. He's a member, you guys.
Look, I'm a member, but here's the deal. We used to be called something else.
Yes, that's true.
When I was on the board.
That's true.
And so I'm still making the mental connection. So I don't, for the folks that are members, like, he a member, he don't know the acronyms have changed over the years, and I'm still trying to say the old acronym. So I'm going to let the president do what she's supposed to do. How do they get in touch with the Houston Black Real Estate Association? How about that? I just said
right before that, while we're on air, I'm going to put him on blast. We want him back on our board. So I just made the request on air and on tape. We'd love to have Mr. Riles back on our board. Elections coming up. Okay. Now, let me go to www.hbreahouston.org. www.hbreahouston.org. And let me also give you our phone number, 713-551-2092. We are a nonprofit organization. We believe in democracy and housing. And Kevin preferenced it by saying that our focus is African Americans. But our mission is to anyone who wants to own a home, regardless of race, color, or gender. So if that is you, then please reach out to us. We'll be able, ready, and willing to help you.
Well, so you've gotten some information out there on African-American homeownership statistics about this event. And I want to stress to those out there, especially if you're African-American, that, you know, homeownership is possible. I don't assume that everyone in my database that listens to this podcast is a homeowner. In fact, I know for a fact that some of them are not, because I get Facebook direct messages when I post about the podcast. And so, as I said in one of the very first podcasts, you know, jokingly from a movie, guy used to say, don't be scared about starting the homeownership process. Folks like Kim are available to you to assist. Although I don't do a lot of residential real estate anymore, I do refer out to folks like Kimberly, and I still answer questions because I have a whole lot of residential clients that I grew up with. I grew up on the residential side. As we kind of move towards a close, I have a couple of, and she wasn't prepared for this because I didn't tell her. How did you get into real estate?
What's
your real estate story?
Yeah, my real estate story. My real estate story is that I was in college and I had a very bad accident.
Okay.
And when I had that car accident, it took a year to learn to walk again. I had to go through a whole lot. And
I didn't know this.
Yeah, I had to go through a whole lot. And I ended up pregnant and a single mom. Mm-hmm. It's nothing left to do because he couldn't walk, but do, you know. Anyway, okay.
We getting real on the real estate of life.
Just being honest. Okay, so you know, being a single mom,
right.
I wanted to do something special for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I really did, and I've lived in a home all my life.
Okay.
And I understood the value of home ownership. My family was getting ready to sell my grandmother's property. Mm-hmm. And my mom, knowing what she instilled in me and the desire that I had, said, no, I think you should buy this property. I received funds from my car accident everything.
Gotcha.
And so I went in and I bought it cash. And when I bought that
first house,
I bought my first home cash.
That's clear. That's,
very, very that's young. I was
right
23
there.
Years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling that I got.
Mm-hmm.
From that, being a single mom, 23 years old, just going through a major hardship, but God bringing me out on the other side and being able to own a home,
mm-hmm.
that my daughter had a place to play in the backyard and all that without people on top of mm-hmm. us to experience the way I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
It was so special to me, and I wanted other people to have an opportunity to have that experience. And so I started looking into real estate. I was like, man, this is something I can do.
Right.
And that's my story. I got into it, Kevin. I never looked back. Everything that I've ever done since that time has been in the real estate industry. Now I've worn many hats. I own a construction company now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a mortgage broker, a real estate broker, property tax consultant. I'm even an arbitrator for the state of Texas for property taxes.
Okay.
I have an arbitration license. So I've done all of those things. I've never left the real estate industry.
Mm-hmm.
What would kill me is that people who look like you and me, mm-hmm. they would come and go in this industry, very good people, because mm-hmm. they didn't know how to utilize their license.
Mm-hmm.
to stay in the industry.
Right.
Well, by me wearing so many hats, I learned that. That's why I start doing the consulting.
Right.
Because I got tired of seeing people who look like you and me leave our industry.
Right.
And I'm like, this is a wonderful industry to be in. All you have to do is know how to stay in any market, whether the home sales are up or down.
that real estate license could do a miracle for you you know how to use it. Right. And so that's my real estate story.
Well, you know what? I did not know any of that, to be honest with you. I know Kimberly professionally, and I say somewhat personally, but more professionally we met, and I didn't know. I like to ask people why they got their license and how they got in the industry. So that's a very unique story, And so we're going to close out. I said on one of the first podcasts when we started having friends, I was going to always ask, since this is the real estate of life and real estate, so your current home right now, you're living in your current mm-hmm. home. Is it you live in the same home or is it?
No. I've since moved.
Since moved. Okay, gotcha. All right. So
I still own it, but I've since moved.
Mr. Producer's going. She's upgraded like Beyonce. So what's your favorite part of your current home?
The favorite part of my current home is that it's mine.
It's yours.
It's that knowing that it's mine. When I bought the current home that I'm in, it was a retirement plan.
Okay.
A lot of people look at it and think, wow, why did she, you know, it was a retirement plan. Kevin, you and I, we don't have 401k.
No.
So I bought strategically, and I bought it as my retirement plan. That's so when I look at it, I know that my retirement is secure. So that's the best thing for me about my home.
All right. I thought she was going to say backyard or the mm-hmm. former dining room. She said, no, that's my retirement. That's my 401k mm-hmm. sitting on Dubs. Now, I want to thank you for, we've been trying to do this actually for a couple of weeks, and I know, can't remember if the storm, was this our original date? This wasn't our original date. So the storm kind of, basically the storm caused everybody to pause for about 2 weeks.
Yes.
That's what I've determined.
Yes.
Life stood still. For us in 2 weeks. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you specifically?
Absolutely. Kim Barnes Henson. And let me give you my contact number. It's, what is my number? Y'all, I don't know my number. I'm sorry. I don't call myself. Okay, give me a break already. 713-742-2424. I'm also on Facebook under Kimberly Barnes, or Kimberly Barnes Real Estate Broker. And you can go to my website, kimbarnes.com/har.com.
All right. And so I want to thank Miss Barnes Henson, and I asked her before, I didn't want to lead a husband out. So, bro, if you listen to this, you know, she told me to do this. Because people in real estate know her as Kimberly Barnes. But as you guys know, you can find me on Kevin Riles, at Kevin Riles, pretty much all social media. So, Facebook, Kevin Riles, Twitter, Kevin Riles, on the gram. Kevin Riles, and then on Snapchat, and that's for the young folks because most of the older folks don't use Snapchat. I'm Kevin Riles Speaks because somebody had taken my name. It was a whole other conversation. So I want to thank you again for.
He called me old. I'm not on Snapchat. Keisha, get me on Snapchat immediately.
I mean, wise, some of the wiser folks. Wiser, not older. Thank you again for coming to talk about African American home ownership and how important it is. And I appreciate you and the Houston Black Real Estate Association for all that you do. And she has tried to convict me to get back on the board.
Yes.
I'm a stand in prayer.
Yes. You guys, please do me a favor. Send him messages. Tell him that we need him. Boots on the ground with us. Please send him messages and help encourage him to do the right thing. Send up some prayers too.
With that being said, let's end this this episode. Again, I want to thank you guys for listening to The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles and friends, and we will see you next week. If you have a question about anything that we've talked about on The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles, a real estate question or a life question, no matter what, email me at kevin@kevinriles.com. Again, that's kevin@kevinriles.com. I'll get it. I'll make sure that I respond to you via email, but also I want to kind of collect these answers so that I could help everyone else. So again, kevin@kevinriles.com.